Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Moon in. You all right? I hope you are. I genuinely hope you are. Come on, wakey, wakey, eggs and bakey. Come on, get up. Wake up, sleepyhead. The day's half over. It's half over already. All right. It's 8 in the a.m. British summertime on Tuesday, the 9th of June, in the year of our Lord, 2026. You're the glorious band, the chosen few, my band of brothers and sisters, the very best among us. Watching this live, what more could I ask for? Brilliant. Brilliant. Hope you're bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, rocking and raring for the day ahead. Another day, another dollar, another chance to put right what once went wrong. As always, I'm joined by my producer, Little Harry. How are you this morning, good sir?
Morning. Yeah, I'm all good.
Great. Good. Excellent. Sorry, I've got ever so slightly runny nose. Earlier this morning, I sneezed loads of times. Loads of times. 10, 20 times. So if my eyes are a bit bloodshot, not because I'm hungover, I sneezed loads. A bit of hay fever, I think. All right, should we stop faffing about, though? What was all that fannying about? Let's just get on with it. What's the legacy corporate mainstream media banging on about this morning? What is that evil cabal of evil Fleet Street editors? What they're trying to tell you is important or not, as the case may be. What have we got? Okay, today, Israel and Iran step back. For now, for the moment. Okay, good, I suppose. And is uni a waste of money, university? Also, which isn't included here, but most of the front papers go with... The owner, co-owner of West Ham United Football Club, my football club, a billionaire dude, a British billionaire dude, in his late 70s, is actually, allegedly, some sort of sex pest. So, like casting couch stuff. Like he used to own various publications of ill repute. Also, The Sport. There's no such thing as a Daily Sport. I think there's still the Sunday Sport, where they heavily lent into page three adjacent material. Yeah, it seems like he's, well, allegedly, he's like in, there's sleaze. There's all sorts of sleaze. David Sullivan. Okay, who could have guessed? Let's have a look. What have we got? The Guardian. Ooh. Straight off the bat with The Guardian. Ooh, yeah. Must you? All right, The Guardian. That the British food scene was booming. Why has it suddenly gone bust? Well, because of COVID and insane socialist taxes on all of that, obviously. We know why. All right, Zelensky. Weird little freak goblin Zelensky sitting at the top of the ultra-corrupt Ukrainian government, not giving the people any sort of chance to vote him out. Thinks that reform have done something wrong. That's rich, isn't it? That's rich. Just shut up, mate. Just go back to your own country. Ugh. Zelensky takes aim at Reform UK's mistake on Ukrainian flags. Don't tell us what is a mistake and what isn't. Tell you what's a mistake is you. You're some sort of genetic mistake, tiny little goblin freak. You're a mistake. Your whole government's a mistake. When are you going to get there be elections in Ukraine again, Vladimir? This is rich. Move is the kind of error that can break a big friendship, he said. Really? So the story is, in some reform council places, where it used to be like a Labour council or some other, one of the other parties, and they would hoist up a Ukrainian flag above their city hall or whatever, because they're just NPCs. There's this stupid, woke, lefty NPCs. Oh, Ukraine, oh, much support for Ukraine. Right, reform get in a bunch of places and just like, well, stop that, take that down. That's a nonsense. This is England. Why would we be flying a Ukrainian flag kind of ever? Ukraine. Yeah, no, take that flag down. That's a nonsense. That's a stupid NPC weirdo freak thing to have ever dreamt of doing. Or something along those lines. I don't want to put words into their mouths. So in some places, reform were doing that. Vladimir's over at the moment, isn't he? He was in number 10 yesterday. He said, that's a mistake to have done that. Shut up. Mistake. Oh, you might lose big, powerful friends if you do something like that. It's not in our interest to be friends with you, bro. He said it's not in your interest to take them down. I hope you reverse that. Ugh. Ugh. Get off of me. Get away from me. Dirty little weirdo. Oh, we're making a mistake. Reform councillors are making a mistake by not flying the Ukrainian flag. Are they? Big friends. How are you our friend? How is he our friend in any way? We're making a mistake by not flying the Ukrainian flag in England. In England. Oh, you revolting little piece of detritus. Ugh. Oh, really? I can't stand him. Not that I'm a fan of Putin. Don't think I'm getting bunts from the Kremlin for saying stuff like that. No, Putin's also a gangster and a murderer. And a strategic enemy of ours. Yeah? Do I have to say that as well? Probably do. Ukraine. Why do we care? Ukraine's got nothing to do with us. Nothing. It's part of our national security. No, it isn't. Right, Israel and Iran step back from full-blown conflict. For the moment. Which is good, I suppose, isn't it? Look, here's an article from the Mail. Let's cut to that real quick. Trump says US will declare total victory over Iran in next 2 weeks. Will it? I doubt that. I highly doubt that. That would require tank divisions storming into the middle of Tehran. That's not going to happen in the next 2 weeks. So I highly doubt that. Although, the oil price, should have a quick look at the oil price. You should save that for a bit later. Why not look now? West Texas, $89, or just shy of $90 a barrel. Brent, $93 a barrel. So the price has come down. Look, all reds at the moment. The price has come down a bit since Iran and Israel, at some point yesterday or overnight, decided, all right, we'll stop exchanging fire for the moment. But nothing is over, really, is it? Israel have got no intention of completely abandoning their conflict with Hezbollah. Hezbollah have got no intention of completely giving up either, have they? And so the thing will rumble on. The war machine keeps turning. Right, the Financial Times. Look at these two beauts. Look at this. Winnie the Pooh and fat Winnie the Pooh. Look at the state of him. Kim Jong-un. Anyway, Xi is in Pyongyang. He's in North Korea on a visit. That's all it is, really. These throwbacks. Ugh. There's something, just personal opinion on that. Just my personal opinion. There's something profoundly disgusting about Kim Jong-un, I think. A true sort of throwback, 1950s style commie dictator. and physically revolting to boot. Ugh. Yeah. Israel and Iran halt exchange of blows as US pushes to extend ceasefire deal. What ceasefire deal? Okay, they've stopped firing for 12 hours or something at the moment. What ceasefire? Trump scolds Netanyahu. Oh, I bet Bibi's shaking in his boots. Yeah. I bet Bibi's really chastened. I bet he'll do exactly as he's told from now on. Focus on reopening straits, is it? Is it? Tehran remains defiant, yeah. That's all they've got, isn't it? Defiance, really. Well, a few missiles, haven't they? Still got a few missiles. Despite what Pete, Big Pete over at the Pentagon said. They've still got a few missiles, haven't they? And the oil prices fall back. Yeah, they do a bit. Unsold World Cup tickets risk leaving FIFA red-faced after own goal on prices. Apparently it's the most expensive World Cup ever in terms of prices. Well, I mean, it would be just inflation if nothing else, wouldn't it? Plus it's being held in a first world country, so FIFA will take the absolute mickey when it comes to making money, as they have always done. Right, the Daily Mail. Complete slop. Globalist subversive slop trying to pretend it isn't, wearing the skin suit or something that isn't that, but it is that. A shocking study shows half of debt-ridden graduates earn less than average wage 5 years after leaving. Is university a waste of money? The Mail group asks. Depends, doesn't it? Depends. Oh, I mean, all I can really tell is a little bit of anecdotal evidence of myself, of my own experience. And it was a while ago. It was like 25 years ago or whatever. I think people should go to university for one of two reasons. One is simply that you want to earn more money. Right? And you do a degree, or even earlier than that, pick A-levels in order to do a degree in a course where you just think, hope that if you get a good degree in that subject, you will sort of immediately go into the job market and make good money, and it'll set you up on a decent career where you make very good money going forward. Right, there's that. Okay, and then there's a whole different way of looking at it, where you sort of, that isn't the primary motivation. It's actually to learn something interesting, something good, something you're interested in, and learn how to form an argument and write an essay and get used to reading a lot. That was one I did. I did ancient history, classical civilizations. So there's no real career or money in that. Oh, I'll come straight out of uni with like a 2-1 or something in ancient history, and I'll get a brilliant job on loads and loads of money. No. No. It was more about becoming a more well-rounded adult. It was about becoming well-read and knowledgeable. It was about being used to the idea that you'd sit down and read and read and read and read, which is useful for certain jobs. It's the ability to have such a long attention span and take in lots and lots and lots of information and assimilate it and get it all straight in your head. The ability to sit down and write an essay. That's all my course really was. Loads of reading and then writing of essays. That's all it was. That's all it really was. But the ability to write a good essay actually is a skill that you can use in life. It's like writing a report if you're in a job. Be able to form an argument and write an essay out where it's like a well-reasoned, well-structured argument, right? Okay, there's no immediate money in that. But it is a very, very good skill to have. Rather than bumbling through life and you can't really articulate yourself properly, you can't really write anything that's well-structured. Well, now you can. All right, so there's two ways of looking at university, whether it's purely for sort of self-development or whether it's just to try and make money. So there's completely different courses in that, aren't there? There's something like I did, humanities-based thing. Or just a type of course that, I don't know, like something to do with computer programming. Or I think like a bit of business, like a degree in business management or something like that. Where you hope you can come out and immediately get a job with a big corporation on loads of money. All right, okay, with all that said, Is university a waste of money? Maybe, probably, for a lot of people, probably is. Probably is. Again, it was very different just 25 years ago when I went to uni, how much it cost. I've got an older brother who's about 10 years older than me. It didn't cost him a penny. He got a grant. They paid it. The state paid him to go to university. In my day, I paid something like, I can't remember what it was. It was something like $3,000 a year. So it was, like, it was just shy of $10,000 all in all to do my degree at a good uni, if I don't mind saying so. I mean, the point is, it was a good uni. It wasn't just some crappy little semi-rural polytechnic. And still, it only cost $10,000, just shy of $10,000. Now, it's tons more than that. Tons. I spoke to a few people in the office and know a few younger people that have done their undergrad in the last few years. And it's many, 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 many times that. Or like $50,000, $60,000, as much as $70,000, is it? I don't know. It's tens and tens of thousands, right? So the calculation, is it a waste of money? Might be, mightn't it? It might well be. Especially if you go down that whole route of, the whole point of this was to, as soon as I finish, go straight into a well-paid job. And then you do that and you don't go straight into a well-paid job. So it's increasingly looking like a waste of money. These are the decisions all young people have to make for themselves. If I was in the same position now, I just simply would not be able to do it. I come from a poor family. Yeah, completely, basically dirt poor. I had to borrow that $10,000 to go to uni, and it took me like years to pay off. Years and years. 15 odd years, the student loans company, it took me ages and ages to pay it off. Ages, silly amount of time to pay off that $10,000. Could have paid it off quicker, but I just, where I worked, PAYE, they take a little bit every month and eventually pay it off. Okay. If I was just finished my A-levels now, and I got accepted to a good uni, but they're like, but it's going to cost you 50, 60 grand to do this degree, I'll just be like, well, I can't do that. I'm going to have to go to work right now. Start earning money. So it's a shame, really. There you go. The story says half of graduates earn less than the average national wage 5 years after leaving university, a damning report has warned. It found that more than 150 students a year struggle to reach the median full-time worker's salary of $35,000. Even more worrying, 11% of graduates failed to land a job that paid them £24,000 over the same period. The analysts said 57% in full-time work 15 months after leaving university. Only 57%. So in other words, that data's saying, isn't it, that to get a degree at the end of the rainbow of finishing your degree, it's just absolutely no guarantee that you'll even get a job, let alone a well-paid one. What a shame, really. What a shame. Well, okay. We live in a changing world. Okay, well, this is a story about David Sullivan. So this guy here, David Sullivan, owns West Ham, or co-owns West Ham. Worth a few bill. Few billion, and years ago, back in, I think more like in the 90s, or maybe the early 2000s, or who knows when, probably going back to the 80s, who knows when. Apparently there's just loads of women at the moment coming out. There's like a joint investigation with the BBC Panorama and the Times, was it? But all the papers are reporting it. They just found like quite a few women from, you know, 20, 30 years ago plus, saying that, yeah, he was just really sleazy towards them. Casting couch level stuff, I don't think, or not at this point, actual sort of sex crime. Just like, oh, you want to be a page three girl in the sport or something? Well, you've got to sleep with me then. Just said something in the first person, that can get clipped, can't it? Gotta be careful saying stuff in the first person. David Sullivan said if you wanted to be in the Daily Sport, you had to sleep with him. Got to be very careful saying stuff in the first person. All right. I mean, is that much of a surprise? I saw some clips this morning where it was these women saying, oh, I did the topless photo shoot for the Daily Sport. Just did it again, didn't I, in the first person? They said they were doing a topless photo shoot for the Sport. And then afterwards, he says, oh, if you want to be in it, then you'd have to sleep with him. And the women going, and that was a complete shock to me, was it? I'm going, oh, I didn't know, I didn't expect that, I never saw that coming, that was a real curveball. I didn't know what to do or say, really. I'm not trying to victim shame here, but really, that was a surprise to you. That a very, very powerful man who's dealing with pornography, essentially, would be sleazy. That was a shock, was it? Okay. West Ham co-owner accused of preying on a string of women. I have to say allegedly at this point because he's not even on trial yet, let alone convicted. So who knows? You know, wouldn't be surprised though, eh? My screen just spazzed out for a moment there. It's back now. It's back now. The Telegraph, the Daily Telegraph. Oh, Ben Stokes, this man here. He's England cricket captain. And he was in, and before now, he's been involved in incidents in clubs and nightclubs, getting in fights. That's what it is. And he sort of narrowly escaped full-blown scandal and like being forced to not be the England captain anymore. But there's been another incident. England beat New Zealand, I think, on Sunday in some sort of test match. And then on Monday night, or the wee hours of Monday, something like that, he got in another brawl in a club with a rugby player. That's it. Who really cares? Stokes in another nightclub bust-up. All right. Billions in aid cash handed to terrorists. Right. Sure. Okay. Criminals, gangsters, and Russia benefited from £28 billion of misdirected taxpayer funds, British taxpayer funds. I've said it before, haven't I? On Breakfast with Bo, Bo's Breakfast Club. I've said it before that in Bo's Britain, should I magically find myself Prime Minister, King, or Lord Protector? Master of the Horse, something like that. An Augustus of Britannia. I would end foreign aid. Just end it. I'll do whatever is required to just basically entirely end it. We haven't got enough money to be spending on our own councils. Right? Why are we giving billions? 28 billion. Year after year after year, giving billions away to foreign countries. And then having to borrow more, having to issue loads more government bonds. Borrow loads of money so we can give it away and not spend it on our own, the infrastructure of our own cities and towns. That's mad. It's just... And then not only that, not just giving it away, but it ends up in the hands of criminals and gangsters and terrorists. Right. But Rory Stewart, would have you believe that there's something morally wrong and bankrupt with not doing that. That's what they argue. Someone like Alistair Campbell or something. We must give away billions and billions of our pounds to foreign countries every single year, year on year, without fail. Why? Well, there is an argument, isn't there, that it's soft power, right? How's that worked out for us? How's that really worked out for us? For example, just one example, say we give billions of pounds to Pakistan so that they play ball with us and we get business connections and it just lubricates the whole relationship between us. How's that worked out for us? We need to give billions to somewhere like Albania or something so we've got soft power. Has that worked out well for us, has it? We need to help build an airport in Pakistan or something. We need to help build roads in Nigeria. Give billions of pounds of ours to Nigeria or whatever. that makes us powerful, does it, in terms of soft power, does it? Meanwhile, our own cities and towns crumble. Right? Meanwhile, the council in Birmingham goes into massive debt. They can't even afford to clean up the streets. But we're going to build an airport in Pakistan or something. Billions end up in the hands of actual terrorists and gangsters and organised crime. Oh, but Rory Stewart's going to tell us it would be morally, ethically wrong to do anything other than that. To cut that by a penny would be something like evil. Stupid and backward. It'd be backward and stupid. Insular. No, I would cut it all immediately. Not one more penny. Not one more penny. Especially while we're just borrowing money. If we had a budget surplus, then maybe think about moving it around strategically and being really, really careful with it. But no, we're in giant debt. Giant, giant, giant debt. We shouldn't be giving away a single penny in foreign aid. Foreign aid, really? To countries whose economy is actually more stable than ours. We give billions in aid to India. They've got a space program. We haven't. How does that make sense? We got any influence over it? It's soft power. It's to do soft power and business. Modi's not interested in anything we asked him to do. We really wanted to ask him to do something, and he decided it wasn't in his interest. He simply wouldn't do it, regardless of a couple of billion pounds of aid we send him. Now, this foreign aid thing should absolutely stop. It's an insanity. Meanwhile, our own veterans live homeless or something. Meanwhile, we can barely afford to put one frigate out to sea. But we're going to give away £28 billion a year. Well, no, that's not even the whole thing, is it? That's just the amount that went into the hands of criminals and gangsters. And terrorists. Completely mismanaged, isn't it? Trump warns Starmer against social media ban. So this is the thing in the last day or so, the last news cycle. So that Keir Starmer, even though he tried to get an under 16 social media ban actually through Parliament with a full Act of Parliament about a few months ago, and that failed. His own backbenchers scuppered it, didn't they? Anyway, it failed. He's now saying that he's actually just going to do it sort of unilaterally. I guess just get the Home Office to issue directives or something in the next 10 days or so. That even beyond 16-year-olds, up to 18-year-olds, various types of ban, they're going to say that certain types of social media that are addictive, and they will decide what is or isn't addictive. So in other words, anything they want, just censor it. Because there is the argument, isn't there, that it's better if, particularly obviously, small children don't see terrible images, whether pornographic or violent. And that's a sound argument, isn't it? You could be a very good parent and make sure your child, your 8-year-old, your 10-year-old hasn't even got a phone, and you're very strict about what they see on the computer at home and everything, and you're trying to keep them as innocent as possible for as long as possible. And some dirty little horrible kid from a broken home in the playground's got a phone and just shows your kid some gore or some insane hardcore pornography or something. Your kid's psyche ruined. Yeah, that's not good. Yeah, I'm not for that. I'm against that. Yeah. Okay, having said that, there is another argument though, isn't there? That this is government overreach, that this is just purely censorship, that this is the state censoring people. They've already said, oh, it's not just up to 16-year-olds, it's 17-year-olds and up to 18-year-olds. Right, so the age of consent is 16. Right, they want to make voting at 16, but you won't be able to see nude images. You can have actual real-life sex, but you can't see nude images. Okay. All right. There's the argument there that it's Operation Creep, isn't it? That they'll start with this, under 16s can't see XYZ, and then it's, oh, up to 18-year-olds can't see XYZ. They're already doing that. They haven't even done it yet, and they're already doing that. And then it'll be, oh, everyone can't see XYZ. And before you know it, you're living in somewhere like China, where the state says exactly what you can't or can't see, can or can't see at all times. And they just endlessly increase the list of things you can't see. Right? And they'll cynically use that argument of your poor little innocent child in the playground. They'll use that to weaponize the other argument, to censor everyone and everything. The way they cynically use a grieving family of a murder victim to tell you you can't have a country and you're not a people. Very, very cynical. Well, Trump came out and said, look, Trump warned Starmer against social media ban, and he just said that, yeah, it's censorship. It's against freedom of speech, freedom of expression. He's not wrong, is he, ultimately? Crown Court judges given AI assistance. Great. We've got a giant backlog of foreign criminals because they've deliberately flooded us with open borders. There's so many of them are criminal, actually criminal, that the courts can't really deal with it, so they need AI to help them out. A great white shark was spotted in the Mediterranean. Usually they're not in the Mediterranean, but one was spotted off the coast of Italy. There you go. The Express, oh, it's a good paper. You can read your Express now. There you go, David Sullivan again there. He paid teens for sex and preyed on women, says the headline. Not my words. Don't take me to court, Dave. Just reading the Express headline. Tory plan to scrap box ticking so staff can, quote, focus on doing their jobs, quote. Kemi Olukemi Badenoch, the Nigerian woman who bizarrely finds herself head of His Majesty's loyal opposition, says, restore common sense to public services. Don't trust you. Don't care. Don't care what you're saying, Kemi and the Tories. Don't trust you. I don't believe you that you're coming to that from a place of conviction. Oh, only now, right? Only now, in response to the Novak murder and resulting furore. Now you're talking about common sense in public services, right? It's not something you came to government or came to opposition with a genuine conviction. No? It's just a political calculation that will win you some votes if you say that at this point. So I don't care. I'm not interested. I'm not interested in what you've got to say. Kemi Badenoch will today reveal plans to replace equality rules with, quote, common sense. I don't trust you. I'm not interested. Get lost. Idris Elba, sorry, Sir Idris, they knighted him, chiming in on James Bond. Don't make James Bond woke, says Idris Elba. They already did, didn't they? The last couple of films had him woke, didn't they? Or at least had him some sort of weakling. What was it? I can't even remember. I'm not even sure if I've seen the very last James Bond film. Maybe the one before that. They had his assistant, some black woman, and she was like the strong character in it. And he was just like flailing along behind her. Idris Elba hasn't been picked to be James Bond, by the way. People said for a while, haven't they, that maybe he would. At the moment, he hasn't been or anything. He's chiming in on, don't make James Bond woke. You're just an actor, mate. You're not a writer. You're not a screenwriter. You're not a literary critic. Actors. Ugh. Actors chiming in on anything and everything, like they're anything. An actor isn't an important person, right? Our society, we make out that actors are of any importance, like they're the royalty of our society in some way. Okay, in the ancient world, actors were considered little better than prostitutes. There's something dishonourable and gross about pretending to be someone else. Right? You turn up somewhere, a director tells you where to stand and how to behave, and a writer tells you what to say. and a production team point a camera at it while you read someone else's words. Actors. You're reading someone else's words. The writer and the director will be of some value, will have some artistic ability and sensibility. The actor doesn't. The actor's standing where they're told to stand and read what they're told to read. That's it. They're nothing. Idris Elba is going to chip in on the nature of James Bond, what James Bond should be. Shut up, mate. Right, the Times, the Daily Times, the Venerable Times, sorry, the Venerable Times. Very venerable newspaper. Oh, yeah. Very venerable. Definitely not complete slop like all the rest of them. What it's like to be Sikh in Britain now, don't care. West Ham owner abused power to prey on women. What a surprise. A pornographer was sleazy. Allegedly. Who could have guessed? Models say they felt pressured into having sex with tycoon to secure appearances in his tabloids. Shock horror. What were the odds? Badenoch, Olukemi Badenoch, I'll kick identity politics out of public sector. Doubt you will. Doubt you would. The Sun. What's, oh, they go with the same thing. But there's a young lady back from, like, what, the late 90s that is apparently pressured. West Ham boss pressed teens for sex. Porn baron abused powers to bed models. Sasha, 24, told police but no action. Predator. Predator. Okay. It's bad though, isn't it? If some sort of sex crime or alleged sex crime may have happened or came close to happening, then you tell the police and they just do nothing. That's it. Alright. Predator. What's the matter, David? CIA got you pushing too many pencils? Stick around. I could do 10 minutes of Predator quotes. I won't. I'll move on. The Mirror. The Daily Mirror. Pure slop. Some of the worst slop. They go with the same thing. I won't even bother reading it. Oh, look. The exact same headline. They came to that completely independently of each other, did they? Like, the exact same. All right. The Eye paper, something slightly different of interest, I think. UK spying fears after secret camera found in Whitehall ceiling panel. Probably Chinese, we don't know for sure, but it's probably Chinese. Don't tell me the Chinese aren't a threat. Don't ask me again why you should be worried about China. It says, the hidden device was discovered in a sensitive government building 2 months ago. UK security services were alerted by officials who were alarmed because the building houses the Home Office and Department for Housing, Communities and Local Government. Both departments were involved in China's controversial planning application for a new, quote, mega embassy, quote. Although there is no suggestion that a Beijing-linked actor is responsible. All right. It might be the Russians then, is that what you're saying? Okay, it's Russians or the Chinese, isn't it? Likely. It's the Chinese. Okay. The secret camera was found behind an office ceiling panel, ministers were informed. Discovery will renew concerns about the security of key British government buildings. We're completely compromised. Yeah, we're completely compromised, particularly by the Chinese. And yet you still have people out there asking what the problem is. Remember Joe Biden? They're not the bad guys, okay? Yeah, they are. Yeah, they are. Idris Elba, they're the Metro. Oh, the Metro. Metro. Idris Elba, talking about James Bond. Ugh, go away. Just a silly throwaway story on the Metro about a crime gang. Net closes on notorious global cartel. Lieutenant in Kinahan gang jailed for hit. Judge, trusted confidant of sinister, dangerous organization, oversaw cruel, callous killing. It was just one particular gang. There's nothing to it. It's just, yeah. The Daily, let's just move on. The Daily Star. Oh, look, they've gone with the story of the Great White Shark. Wish you weren't here. You know, like going on holiday, wish you were here. Wish you weren't here. Great White Shark spotted as millions holiday in the Med. I mean, there's other sharks in the Med as well, so. But yeah, Great White Shark. Interesting. There you go. Okay, that's the front pages today. Pardon me, that's the front pages. Should we have a look at our poll, Harry? We usually have a look at our poll at this time of the day, don't we? All right, what have we got here? Sorry, there's a bit of glare on my screen. I have to do this. There's too much glare. I wonder why. The screen must be at a slightly different angle to usual. It says, should we be flying the Ukrainian flag in England? Over 1,000 votes. Twice as many as the last bit of polling from Makerfield. Last bit of polling that's already like a week old. Only 500 odd people was asking that. Here, over 1,000. All right. A cool 96% of you say no. Only 4% of you say yes, get out. About 4%. Everyone that just voted yes in that poll, get out. You're not welcome here. This isn't the podcast for you. You're not welcome on Breakfast with Beau. Don't go. Don't go. I was lying. I was joking. I still love you. We can make this work, baby. Don't go. I was mucking about. Please stay. Please. Stay, though. Please stay. All right. 96% of you say no. All right. Yeah, why would we? What is Ukraine got to do? What is the Donbass region and the conflict between Kiev and Moscow got to do with us? Nothing. I'm not buying that it's about European security, and that should Putin be successful there, he's going to go on and invade Belarus or Poland or Finland. I'm not buying it. All right? Okay. Should we have a little bit of a look at some of the websites? Oh, actually, it's already 22. I do need to try and end by not too long after 9 a.m. So, should we already move on to on this day in history? Most of the stories in the mainstream media are the ones on the front pages. There isn't some massive other story today. There is one, actually. There is one. I was only aware of it when I got in this morning and saw it being mentioned in my own chat. Belfast. Have a look at this. Incredible moment. Hero bystanders wrestle man to ground after stabbing chaos in UK city. It's a bit cryptic, that. I wonder what's an incredible moment of heroism. Oh. Stabbing chaos? It's an odd turn of phrase. Stabbing chaos. But it's an incredible moment of heroism. Mind you. In UK city, well, Northern Ireland, Belfast, right, in Belfast, what was the stabbing chaos and what's the heroic moment? Two foreign black guys, at least the perpetrator is foreign, is babbling away in some foreign African language, some African dialect, I can only imagine. Two black guys in the street in Belfast, one's just stabbing the other one in the head and throat. Sawing at his throat, trying to behead him in the street. That's the stabbing chaos. Stabbing chaos. But don't worry, because it's a moment of heroism. Don't worry about the horror of that, the insanity of that. Why two African people were trying to, one's trying to behead another. I think they were high as well, so isn't there reporting that they were high as a kite? At 10:30 in the morning. But don't worry, there was heroism involved. I'm actually not trying to undermine the fact that white standards, Irish native white bystanders eventually rushed up to him and tried to subdue him, hit him with something. Someone else booted him in the head, knocked him out. Not trying to diminish what they did do. That is mildly heroic. What I'm lampooning is the media framing it like that in the first instance. Not horror consequences of mass migration, not that. No. It's just stabbing chaos. And a moment of heroism. If you import the third world, you become the third world. Don't you? That man should never have been in Northern Ireland. What's he doing in Belfast? Belfast. An African man in Belfast hires a kite trying to behead another African man at 10 a.m. in the middle of the road. Literally in the road. In Belfast. I mean, but you'd say this sort of stuff mirrors the sentiments I've just expressed to sort of a Care for Calais person, the average Lib Dem voter, the average Green voter, the average Labour voter. And you're the problem. I am the problem. I'm just racist and bigoted. Noticing that. The insanity of that. The evil of the policies that led to that. If you notice that, you're the problem. Millions must go. Aim high, vote low. Vote for Restore Britain, because millions must go. And reform won't get it done. They will not. Remember, Nigel isn't bothered about demographic change. Steve Edgerton interviewed him. Are you worried about demographic change? No. That's what Nigel said, didn't he? Did he not? Did he not? Has he reversed that since then? Has he come out? Has he reversed that? He said, sorry, the interview I said with Edjo a year ago or whatever, I've changed my mind on that. I do think demographics are destiny. I do think that a demographic replacement is one of, if not the most important issue of our age. No, he hasn't done that, has he? Nigel hasn't done that, no. In fact, when someone accuses him of being a populist, he'll stop them mid-sentence and say, I'm not a populist. I've never claimed to be a populist. I'm not a populist. So reform won't get it done. Nigel's a political coward. The best hope is Restore Britain and Rupert Lowe. If millions must go, then millions must go. That's the policy. It's on all the leaflets. It was in that video that he did, and it's on all the leaflets. Talking about reversing legal migration to the tune of millions. Aim high, vote low. Millions must go. All right. Let's have a look at On This Day in History, shall we? I quite like that segment. You guys seem to like that segment. Down through the centuries on this day, the 9th of June. What happened of note? What have we got here? What's this website giving us this morning? 68 AD, Roman Emperor Nero commits suicide, imploring his secretary Epaphroditus to slit his throat to evade a Senate-imposed death by flogging. So against the year of the four emperors, isn't it? Or the next year, 69 AD, is the year of the four emperors. Nero, who had been, is the last of the Julio-Claudians, isn't he? The very last of the Julio-Claudians. He'd ruled for a long time, 10 years, 12, 15 years, quite a while, and was basically an insane tyrant. Maybe not clinically insane, maybe just bad. You know, because there is a difference just being a bad, horrible sadist and being absolutely clinically insane. I would have thought Nero maybe was, but a lot of people say he wasn't. Anyway, he was terrible. And in the end, there was military coup d'etats against him. And when the Senate realised that military imperators were closing in on Rome, they then declared that Nero was an enemy of the state. Just declared it. And the penalty for that is being beaten to death. So rather than face that, Nero killed himself. And as the story goes, if you believe, what is it? Suetonius, the 12 Caesars. Does Tacitus talk about that? I think he does. Certainly in Suetonius. We're told that Nero didn't quite have the nerve to kill himself, and he needed to have one of his slaves with him kill themselves first. To sort of get him in the mood or something. Anyway, he did. In the end, he did kill himself. That's Nero. All right. Do you think I've got... Harry? Do you think there's long-form content all about Nero on Bodade's Epochs? There is. Of course there is. Come on. I'm going to do all the Julio Claudians. Please. Do consider signing up for a £5 a month bronze tier membership. LotusEaters.com. Head over there. It's a good deal. All right. On this day in 721, Odo of Aquitaine defeats an Umayyad Muslim army at the Battle of Toulouse, halting Arab expansion in Western Europe. That's a key one. I think I've talked about that before, if I recall. When I did some content about Charles Martel, Charles the Hammer. I think in the run-up to that, I was talking about the Battle of Toulouse. Anyway, it's an important battle. You know, the Muslims can claim, many do, that Spain is part of the global Islamic empire, because at one point it was controlled by Muslim rulers. But they can't really claim that about France or the Low Countries or England, because the Muslim armies of the 8th century were stopped there, at the Battle of Toulouse. More than one battle, and they were stopped basically in France, southern France. Okay, on this day in 1549, the Book of Common Prayer is adopted by the Church of England. So, if you've been watching Epochs at the moment, we're talking all about Henry VIII and the break with Rome. The break with Rome was already complete by 1549. I mean, it's basically complete by what, like 1533, 34, 35? So by 1459, England is a Protestant country. And the Book of Common Prayer is sort of the staple. You would want any good Church of England Christian in the 16th century, you'd have a Bible and you'd have a Book of Common Prayer. Perhaps a Psalter. Okay. On this day in 1815, Congress of Vienna ends after reshaping the political map of Europe. So 1815, what happened in 1815? Anybody? Pop quiz? Pop quiz hotshot? Anybody? Battle of Waterloo, of course, isn't it? So after the final defeat of Napoleon, they have to rework the map of Europe, really, like the end of World War One. Like Versailles, have to come together and decide how everything's going to be now. Talked about Metternich before, didn't we? The Viennese foreign minister. He was important, as was Wellington himself, the Duke of Wellington himself. So very important, the Congress of Vienna. In fact, they'd started the Congress of Vienna before Napoleon had escaped from Elba, and they had to sort of interrupt it to go and re-defeat him, which Wellington does do on the field of Waterloo. And then they reconvene Vienna and finish deciding what the map of Europe's going to look like now. Okay, on this day in 1856, 500 Mormons leave Iowa City in Iowa and head west to Salt Lake City, Utah, carrying all their possessions in two wheeled hand carts. Why did they leave Iowa City? What was that about? Why did they? Was there a problem? Were they fleeing? Joseph Smith's already dead, isn't he? Joseph Smith died long before that, 10 years or so, something like that, before that. People didn't like the Mormons, particularly. I mean, Joseph Smith was basically lynched to death, wasn't he? A lot of people thought that the Church of the Latter-day Saints, the Mormons, are wrong-headed and not real Christians and are doing it all wrong and have got some very, very bizarre ideas, and they don't want them anywhere near them. A lot of people thought that. Some still do, don't they? So they go and make a better life for themselves out in the wilderness. Basically out in the wilderness. The middle of Utah in the 1850s. Yeah, it's in the middle of nowhere. Yeah, it's the absolute middle of nowhere. Was it Brigham Young? Brigham Young, he was a nice guy, wasn't he? He was a good guy, wasn't he? Brigham Young. He wasn't. By the way, I'm being sarcastic there. He wasn't. Look it up. Look it up for yourself. Okay. Am I going to get it in the neck here from some Latter-day Saints? No, it's a stupid creed. No, it's a stupid creed. Joseph Smith was a fraudster and a liar. Don't knock on my door, stop me in the street, and ask me to convert to the Church of Latter-day Saints. It's nonsense. Okay. On this day in 2019, over 1 million people protest in Hong Kong against proposed new laws for extradition to China in one of the largest ever protests in the city. Yeah, when we had to give back, Britain had to give back Hong Kong to China, didn't we? In what, 1999? Chris Patton, the Lord Patton, anyone remember that? Anybody? Smash cut, 20 years later, China just properly taking over. Yeah, if you do anything wrong according to our laws, China's laws, we'll just take you to China and put you in prison. You'll probably never be seen again, depending on what you've done. There you go. That's the Chinese Communist Party for you. Don't tell me they're not a worry. They're not an enemy. They are. Of course they are. All right, let's have a look at the Rumble Rants and Super Chats. Global Church History. Ooh! Global Church History has been pipped. And no, Skulldrazier at 43 minutes past 5 in the AM says, okay, this is the time, all capital letters, exclamation mark. I got to get one in before Global Church History, exclamation mark. Before 5:45 in the AM. I've said it, haven't I? You've got to get up early, quite literally, in the morning, to beat Global Church History. Well, Skulldrazier is living the dream. He did it. He only bloody did it. Just to do it as well. He's not saying anything of no. He's saying, I got him. I beat him. Why not? Poor old Global Church History. No, he's all right. He's all right, isn't he? He is in at number 2. And he says, well, we've got a couple of factoids every morning. Can rely on good old reliable Global Church History. Says, on this day in 411 BC, the Athenian coup succeeded and began the oligarchy. Yeah, so that's interesting, is it? And Harry, have you got that camera? On my channel, History Bro. Do you want like something like 4 or even 5 hours of me and Carl Benjamin talking about the Peloponnesian War? Of which that incident is a part. Something like 4 or 5 hours. Yeah, the history of Thucydides. Do you reckon it's there on History Bro? There's no paywall there. That's all free. Oh, it's there. Yeah. Just type in History Bro. Scroll down. It's one of my first videos. So yeah, the oligarchy. That's in the middle or towards the end of the Peloponnesian War. That war with Athens and Sparta, which Sparta ultimately wins. Alcibiades had gone off to his Sicilian expedition. He decided he was going to spend loads and loads of Athenian money, take their entire navy over to Sicily. You might ask, what's Sicily got to do with a war in the Peloponnese? Yeah, nothing. Yeah, no. Yeah. No, nothing. And invade Sicily. This is quite a big island, notoriously difficult to conquer. Alcibiades went to do that. All Athens' eggs strategically in one basket, and it completely fails. So their government collapses and there's an oligarchy of 400 guys in Athens decide, right, oh, this democracy thing isn't really working too well. You end up with some crazy firebrand who leads us down the garden path and does something insane. Because the average people vote for crazy things. They get convinced of something crazy and vote for it. That's no good for us. We, the oligarchs, the 400, we'll just take government into our own hands. Thank you. Anyway, I could go on and on and on, but if you want to know, it's there. Okay. Or read or listen to an audiobook of Thucydides for yourself. Go straight to the horse's mouth. I advise everyone to read or listen to an audiobook of Herodotus and Thucydides. Definitely. All right. Tom Rat 247 says, master's degree in chemistry in 2000. Average salary in my area, 25K. PhD in chemical engineering in 2017, average 30K. L6 apprenticeship, I don't know exactly what an L6 apprenticeship is, but L6 apprenticeship in data science, average 36K. I could have been a Sparky on 50K by now, an electrician. Yeah, right, yeah. I mean, yeah, all valid points. Two of my good friends who went to work straight after school at 16, they finished their GCSEs at 16 and went out and got jobs. They're both wealthy people now. Yeah. Might have a little bit of a chip on their shoulder that they haven't got a degree, but they're more wealthy than I am. If you're just interested in making money, might just be worth going to work at 16, mightn't it? Okay. If you care about being a well-read, interesting person, maybe spend a few years learning and reading, though. It's up to you, isn't it? It's up to you. Right. Fallen Firebird. The foreign aid soft influence argument might be legitimate if we ever actually leveraged anything from it. Yeah, good point, right? Yeah. What do we get out of it? But since our politicians are weak traitors, they just give our treasure away for nothing. Yeah. Like, for example, take Pakistan. Give them billions and billions and billions. Build a whole airport for them or whatever. And then we say, oh, by the way, we'd like to deport a bunch of Pakistani sex criminals and murderers and various all types of criminals after they've served their sentence in the UK, after they've done horrible, despicable crimes in the UK, and then we've paid for them to be incarcerated for years and years. Now, our law says, and we want to deport them back to Pakistan. Pakistan says, nope. We're like, oh, but what about our soft power? We are giving you billions every year. Pakistan are like, no, don't care, nope. And then we go, oh, fair enough then, and slink away. How's that soft power working out for us, Rory? Rory Stewart. You freak. Cretin. Traitor. Disgusting individual. Fortean Barber says, morning, mate, all right? All right, how are you? Sweet haircut, bro. That's what he says. Sweet haircut, right? Yeah. Yeah. Pretty sharp. When you're a bald man and you go lean into the bald look, you've got to keep it short, haven't you? I let it get a bit too long, didn't I? Should have it shaved really every 3 or 4 days or so. Sometimes I leave it more than a week, as many as 2 weeks. If you're going to be bald, if you're going to go for the cue ball, got to keep it super short. But cheers, thanks for noticing. You say, have you seen the followers of Burnham are called Burnhamites now? Weird. Oh, I hadn't seen that. Burnhamites. I mean, it makes sense. It? Andy Bumham. No Sternum Burnham. Yeah. The followers of Burnham. Yeah, you follow him. Well done. Good. Brilliant. Well, again, cretinous behaviour, isn't it? The great hope for their party and the country is Burnham. The bottom of Blair's barrel. The dregs, the scrapings, the filthy residue off the bottom of the Blairite barrel. You're going to follow him, are you? Off the edge of a cliff. Yeah? Follow him off the edge of a cliff. Follow him into a nice cosy deck chair that you find is on the deck of a sinking ship. Great. Okay. Harry, can you bring up the YouTube Super Chats? Because you need to do that for me. I don't have the power. Only the producer has the power. Unlimited power. There we go. Okay. All right, we've got a fair few, like well over a dozen, 20-odd. All right, whip through them a bit. It's now gone 9. Evan Hughes says, for the sake of historical accuracy, it pains me to say that 5 days ago, on the 4th of this month, my mother, Frances Ann Perkins, passed. I'm terribly sorry to hear that. I love her so much and will forever. I am going to live on in her memory, in memory of her. Yeah, very, very sorry to hear that, Evan. I've said before, haven't I? I've lost my mother a long time ago now. Seems like a while ago, 10 years ago. Yeah. Again, as I said then, all I can say now is that time does heal. 5 days ago, I'm very sorry to hear that. I hope you're okay. I hope you're okay. Talk to someone if you need to. I know it's not always easy as a bloke. It honestly does help. It honestly does help to let it out a bit if you need to. Yeah, there's not much that can be said. That's the other thing about loss and mourning. When you've lost something you can't replace, there's not much that can be said. That was the way I felt. You can talk about it, get it off your chest a bit, but in the end, nothing's going to change it. You've lost something you can't replace, and you just have to learn to live with that. It's not a case of getting over it entirely and getting better, and it's something that you never think about anymore. No, you just learn to deal, you just learn to live with the scar tissue of it. 5 days ago, I'm very sorry to hear that, sir. I hope you're okay. I really do. It's a difficult thing. Loss like that. You lost your mother or your father, brother or sister, your own child. Deal with it as best you can, of course, of course. I hope you're okay. All right. Dark Emperor Ray 13 says, good morning from the US, cousin, yet again. My only regret is not being able to have a proper English breakfast. Eggs, bacon, toast, question mark. All of it sounds good right now. Also, The Guardian wince. Yeah. English breakfast, egg, bacon, toast. Well, I want two sausages, two of bacon, beans, tin toms or fresh toms grilled, egg, fried egg. What else? Maybe a bit of black pudding. Fried bread. I would accept toast, but I'd rather fried bread, to be perfectly honest. What else? Mush, bit of mushroom. If you're extremely hungry, you want to push the boat out, maybe a bit of bubble and squeak. You've got to have two egg, two bacon, double egg, beans. Yeah, go on. I love a cooked breakfast. Love them. Okay. Principled Uncertainty says, it's one of those ones where, can I say, I'll just say, you've put, the male is very excited every time our operatives, they put something more crude than that, that I probably shouldn't read out because of the kiddiewinks. They've just said, the male, like the Daily Mail, is very excited every time our operatives in Ramstein facilitate deep penetration drone strikes in Russia. Ramstein Air Force Base in Germany, are you talking about? Our allies have genuinely lost their minds. Yeah. And I'm no fan of Putin. I said it earlier on this stream. I've said it a number of times. I'll say it again. Putin is a gangster and a murderer and not to be trusted and is a strategic enemy of ours. And yet also I feel like a lot of people in the deep state have lost their minds about him, have lost all perspective about him and what he is and what he represents and everything. They're trying to poke the Russian bear in the eye with a stick until it nukes someone. Yeah. Our operatives in Ramstein. Deep penetration. Yeah. Let's just give Ukraine loads of drones that it's capable of firing into St. Petersburg and Moscow. Over a war in the Donbass that's already lost. Is that a good idea? Is that a good idea? Are we going to keep poking the Russian bear in the eye with a stick? Let's sharpen that stick for him. Yeah, we'll get a nice point on that stick. Okay. Seems a bit irresponsible. Right. Puds, that's their name. Puds 5102 says, my group of 50s, 60s women have all joined Restore. Nice. Nice. Our kids all went to university, all raging lefties. They're doing well, so there's that. Okay, yeah. Young people that have been co-opted or brainwashed into leftism is extremely sad. Usually they come round at some point when reality hits home. I've said it before and I'll say it again about based boomers. Boomers get a lot of flack for being like the worst of the worst lefty NPCs. And a lot of them are. But when you find a based boomer, and oh, they do exist. When you find a based boomer, sometimes they're ultra, often they're ultra based. They're more based than you probably think, than you can imagine. I like a good ultra based boomer, me. So yeah, you've all joined Restore. Brilliant. Love it. Love it. Richard K. Albion says, please talk about Belfast. Okay, so you would have sent that earlier. I now have, but yeah, right. Benjamin Samuel Brown 57 says, can you cover Belfast? Right, so yeah, I did, didn't I? I'm glad I did, and now I'm not, it's the case of me reading that and saying, oh yeah, now I should have done that. Already did. Okay, all right. Emily for Restore, nice name, says, B, as an academic, I don't mind being called B actually. B, as an academic, if I can confirm students no longer have to read, write well-structured essays, or show any kind of merit, thanks to race Marxism. Okay, I get what you're saying. Yeah, right. Just the bar is lowered constantly, isn't it? In every, basically across the board, in everywhere in our society, the bar of success and achievement and merit is just lowered and lowered and lowered and lowered and lowered until there isn't really anyone. There isn't really a bar at all. Like you can be a beat cop if you're 5 foot nothing and weighing 90 pounds. Okay. You can get a degree if you're barely literate. Oh, okay. You can get a job as a skilled tradesman even though you're not skilled. Okay. You can be a nurse even though you can't read a chart. Oh, okay. You can be a lorry driver even though in your country of origin you never really passed a test and you don't understand road safety. Oh, okay. You can be a surgeon and botch most of your surgeries. Oh, all right. Yeah, race Marxism means that students barely need to be able to read and write, let alone structure an essay well. Well, at least we're all equal now. Equally dumbed down. Equally living in a failed society. Yeah, brilliant. Okay, Fauxhammers 95, I don't know if that's a FVUX. Hammers 95 says, albeit anecdotal, I'm a lorry driver and seem to out earn most of my as you meant to say buddies there who have gone to uni and got degrees. Most of them don't even work in the field they studied for. Yeah, many such cases. Yeah, particularly if you do a humanities based degree, you know, something like theatre studies or literature or history, or even something like geography or something. There aren't really many jobs in that. Very, very, very few jobs. And certainly not hardly any well-paid ones. So, yeah. Yeah. Okay, Mr. Dickie Bingo. How are you, sir? You say, uni party finally realised the English are awake. Yeah. Yeah. They wakened us as well, didn't they? They forced it on us, didn't they? That everyone can have an in-group preference for their own tribe and race and ethnicity, but we can't. Well, it's probably only so long. We just have to accept that we don't have an in-group or a race and just accept being annihilated. Don't dare notice it, let alone say anything. Was that ever going to really work? Mr. Dickie Bingo again says, can we have sharks in the channel, please? Oh, I see. Great white sharks in the English Channel. Like, popping dinghies. Like, actually, that's what you're saying. Not my words, Mr. Dickie Bingo, not my words. Yeah. Okay. Something Wickedly, which is Superfan Shona, how are you this morning? Says, it shouldn't be flying a nonce flag either. Is that those Pride flag ones where on the left hand side there's the light-coloured pink and light-coloured blue chevron-shaped colours that are to do with... They're to do with actual underage sex, aren't they, I believe? Yeah, shouldn't be flying those flags, yeah. Yeah, that's sickening to me. If you see that outside somewhere, walk down the high street, some any city or town in Britain, you'll see one of those pride flags. Disgusting. Utter, depraved subversion. Makes me sick to my stomach. Isaac Kirkwood Smith says, Crimea is rightfully Anglo. Just that. No other explanation or anything, just that. Talk about the Crimean War, I guess, from the 1850s, wasn't it? Okay, all right. I haven't got time to go into that, I'm afraid. It's already gone quarter past, but an interesting idea, an interesting sentiment. All right, Brendan Lucas says, how are you this morning, sir? Another super fan. The whole Russia invades Poland thing always read strange to me. Poland has 1,000 South Korean battle tanks. I never knew that. I didn't know that. Poland's got 1,000 South Korean battle tanks. Okay, what, like modern ones? Interesting. I'd be worried about Poland invading Russia. Yeah. I don't buy Mr. Putin has got designs on even the whole of Ukraine, let alone Belarus or Poland or Finland or Estonia. At the moment, they can barely handle the Donbass. Not that that's the point. Not that that's actually the point. I mean, Putin actually showed a lot of restraint, really. The amount of goading that went on in that region for a number of years before he finally acted and moved into it. Anyway, if you think I don't know what I'm talking about, I've seen it before sometimes. Bo should never talk about the Russia and Ukraine thing because he just simply doesn't know what he's talking about. How embarrassing, Lamau. Do you happen to have quite a few hours of content talking about that exact region of the world, what is modern day Ukraine? A few hours of it going back to the 7th or 8th century. Talking about the Kievan Rus. And on. So, do know a little bit about it. Alright. The last two here. Tatum2733 says, I feel like the PRC wouldn't care to be anti-white. PRC, why don't I know that? Why isn't that? Harry, can you quickly type in PRC? It's one of those things I feel like I should absolutely know, and as soon as it comes up, I'll be like, oh, all right, that. What is it? Sorry, just waiting for this to come through. Oh, China. People's Republic of China. Right, okay, sorry about that. The People's Republic of China. Okay. You feel like they wouldn't care to be anti-white. They wouldn't care to be anti-white. Interesting. Okay, I'm not sure. I'm not sure exactly what you're saying. I feel like the People's Republic wouldn't care to be anti-white. Okay, sorry, I'm not sure exactly what you're saying there. Okay, sorry about that. And the last one here, Erwin Romulus, another super fan. Thank you for the money, sir. Appreciate it. Says, British adults must be shown these attack videos uncensored. Scenes too graphic to show translate to go and play with your Transformers. This is for grown-ups. Yeah, the argument of that is interesting. Whether people should see the true graphic nature of what's happening. I think, yes, to a large degree, I agree with you. Yeah. Actually see it. Oh, one more's just come in. Tatum again, are they going to explain this? Like if they ever ruled us somehow, they wouldn't be anti-white like some. Oh, I see, all right. So say the Chinese, just say, the Chinese invaded Britain and we can't defend ourselves because we basically haven't got a Royal Navy or much of a standing army. the Chinese, and then they ruled over us as like a colonial overlord. There's a Chinese viceroy sitting in Westminster. They actually wouldn't be anti-white. Yeah, maybe. The irony of that. They would insist we're all communist, but they wouldn't necessarily be anti-white. Yeah. That's crazy, isn't it? I think you're probably right. That's crazy, isn't it, to think that. All right, good point. Interesting point, Taintum. All right, okay, that's the show. It's now 19 minutes past 9 in the AM, British Summer Time, on Tuesday, 9th of June, in the year of our Lord 2026. You've been the glorious band that chosen for you, my band of brothers and sisters. Thank you for joining me. Without you, it isn't a thing. It really isn't. I say it nearly every morning, don't I? But there's no way to express sort of the sincerity of thanking you for joining me on a daily basis. The idea that without you, it isn't a thing. That's just so absolutely, actually true. So thank you from the bottom of my heart, Thank you. You're my people. All right, then. Until tomorrow morning, do try and make the best of the day ahead. You know, carpe diem. Seize the day if you can. I know it's not always easy when you've got a job. You've got all sorts of responsibilities, but your time is the most valuable thing you will ever have by a long way. Try and make it count if you can. All right, without being too preachy, until tomorrow morning. Take care.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.